Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the last one. I just want to ask you this. Can you give us a little Scouse accent? Is that possible?
I want some chicken. Come on.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Injury Time with me, Sandeep Menon. We bring you yet another interview with one of the standout personalities in Indian football. With us this week, we have Gerard Nuss, the manager of Northeast United FC. They've started off the season quite well, and Gerard goes into detail about, you know, why they've managed to start off well, what his principles are, and how he went about making the team, and what even brought him to the shows in the first place. We also delve into his past, where he talks about his time with in Liverpool, the team with Gerard and Torres and Rafa Benitez, Gustavo Poyet, Gregorio Samaras, and many other players that he's worked with, his friend Andre Orlandi, learning the Scouse accent coming from Spain. That's the first introduction to English that he had, his experiences across the world. It's a very good conversation, and hope you enjoy it. So let's get straight to it. First of all, Coach, welcome to Injury Time. Thanks for giving your time. I know you are really busy with, you know, games coming thick and fast and festive season and all. So how have you been since your time in India?
Well, first of all, thank you for the interest of talking to me. For me, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. So, I mean, it's obviously with the COVID situation is not ideal situation. I would love to be in India and getting to know the great things that this country and these people could offer, you know, and going and traveling to the different stadiums and to the different, you know, getting too close to the fans and getting to know, you know, everything. I mean, that would be the, you know, it's hard times, but it's definitely nice to be here and to be experiencing this ISL, which is really interesting competition and is a league that is helping to improve the football in India. And I'm happy to be part of it.
Yeah, I always say this to all the players that I've spoken to, all the new managers who come. I just hope that you guys are here once the situation is resolved, because you get to travel, you see the fans in Kerala, how they behave differently to the fans in the Northeast or in Karnataka. It's like a massive country, right?
Yeah, we're missing that. That's what I try to say. It's sad that we're missing this part, because that's truly, I believe, that football it's for the people, for the fans, you know, and it's not the same. I mean, it completely, the meaning of football without the people, it's almost nothing, you know. But the most important is that the competition is still going on, and it's been, you know, a big thing from all the people to be sure that it would be football, and no matter what is the situation worldwide. So that's a positive, because at least people can follow it, and we felt so far the support of them by all the social media, and definitely that's great, and it's exciting for the players. And obviously ourselves as a staff to see that it means a lot, you know, to be part of the club, and in this case Northeast United, and see all the people behind us. It's definitely a beautiful thing.
No, I have to say, since you've come to India, the interest in Northeast has been really high this year, the way you guys are playing and everything. So that's actually very refreshing to see. But before we get into that part, can you talk about how this move to India came about? I know you know Avram Grant well, and he's worked with Northeast and things. So generally asking, how did this move come about?
Well, this is football, you know, when sometimes the opportunities come. And you analyze and you decide if it's the best for you. And I like the challenge. Obviously, I knew that last season it wasn't really a positive one in terms of the results. So I thought I could bring my experiences here, and I'm so pleased for that opportunity. And what we try to do since day one is to create a team that is really competitive, a team that really, no matter what is the final result, but you're gonna fight, and be like using this opportunity to prove ourselves as players and as staff that we want to do something serious, that we want to be proud of ourselves after every single game, like we gave absolutely everything. And that's something that I'm so pleased, because we've seen it in the 8 games that we play so far, a team that in many cases we deserve more in terms of results, because we created more chances than the opponent. And also at the same time, we are a team really hard to be beaten, which actually only happened once in all of those 8 games. And even in that one that we lost, we missed a penalty, which is a clear opportunity in any football game to at least score. And obviously in that case, it would mean the draw. So that's something that I'm pleased. I know it's not an easy task ahead, because we didn't have like a long season, but it's not an excuse. That's the way it is for all the teams. And the most important is that we becoming strong as a team, and also we improving our players. The players are getting they're improving their level, all of them, no matter if they play more minutes or they haven't played yet, or they play just a few minutes, all of them, their level is higher than a few months ago. And that's something that we all are pleased with.
So before you made the shift to India, did you know much about football in India, about the Northeast and ISL and things like that? Because you have worked in Asia.
Yeah, I was really familiar with the Indian football, because I have good friends that they play here, or coaches that they coach here. So I got a lot of information, and I was excited about this opportunity. But at the same time, because I thought I could bring something to it, you know, I think it's a league that is developing with 7 years of history at this moment, but also with you know, with a huge desire to get better. And this, I think, made a perfect fit for me, because I want to get better. I want to keep learning. I want to, at the same time, I had amazing chances and amazing experiences so far. And, you know, I think it was a perfect match. And I'm happy with the line of, or with the process of, in terms of work that we're doing so far. You know, I think the players, they took it in a really nice way, because they see that we came here to help them to develop, and I'm pleased with it. I see that the Indian mentality is really a culture that people want to become better, and that's why I'm here, because I think it has a meaning.
So one of the things you notice about this team is how well-drilled the whole team is. You spoke about previously in a press conference, I had asked a question about changing the style to adapt to an attacking team as opposed to a defensive team. You spoke about the principles of play being the same. So could you talk about what exactly are the principles that decide the football for Northeast United?
Well, first, we need to be a team that we are well-organized. And this means everybody has to know what to do in every situation of the game. And there are things regarding the team as a group, what we do when we don't have the ball, what we do when we have the ball. And obviously every scenario in the game, it might be different, because we're playing against different opponents, the ball might be there, the timing, the how we feel fitness. And there are a lot of things that cannot be reproduced 100%. It's always different in every single game. But there are moments of the game that you know what's going to happen. Like what's going to happen when it's a kickoff? What's going to happen when it's a goal kick? What's going to happen when it's a corner? So all the things that you can control, we want to be ready for it, and everybody know how we're going to do it. And one day we know, we analyze the opponents, we know what most likely they're going to do it. So we, it's not a surprise, and we prepare for it. This is a, as a team. So organization, preparation, work. But there is this desire, this mental side, which for us is so important, because at the end, if you are ready to give everything, it's really hard for anyone to you know, it's really hard for anyone to beat you, you know, because if you want more than the other and you are well organized and have this clear idea of how punish the teams and how deal with them when they have the ball, it's, I'm not saying that you're not going to lose. No, of course you still, because we're playing against really good sides with good coaches and so on, that, which they try to do the same to you. But at the end of the day, it's, it reduces the chance for them to damage you, you know, to punish you. And that's what we believe. We believe with the work, we're working a lot, and we try to control all the things that we can control based on this organization and also with this mental and this commitment, this kind of intention, you know, like be switch on all the time. It's this, you know. Why I'm saying that is that it might sound too simple, but actually it's a lot of things, because organization for me, it means having control of the changing room, which players that play already, which ones they can be in the roster and never been before, give a chance to players that never had it before. You know, it's a lot of things to take under consideration. And that's when you manage every single thing and we do less mistakes and great decisions, and obviously the results go in our favor as well, then you have a final product, let's say it that way.
So I think you might be the best person to answer this because of your work as a technical director and studies in sports science. When I was younger, I used to be all about the tactics, like you have before the different formations and all those kind of things. More and more now, I think, and look at a team, it's more about the character of the team. Like the tactic, it's very important, but it's about the players and their mentality, how they go about it and things like that. From your perspective as a coach, which part would you say is the most important one?
I think every part is important. I think the tactics are a crucial part. I mean, it's so essential. Without that tactics, I mean, you have to be top in terms of tactics. But as we said, also this mental side, it's probably one of the things that has more range of improvement. I think in the last years, we've seen massive developments and more knowledge about how the player is supposed to eat, how the player is supposed to take care of the pitch, how they, in terms on the pitch, how they have to play the tactics or fitness. It's been a big improvement in all those areas, but probably in the mental side is definitely the area that with a huge, huge potential to get even better and better. And that's one of the areas that I'm more passionate about. I have more passion about it. But definitely for me to have this, you have to be in control of everything. If you're massively good in something, but a disaster in another one, then the team will not perform. And not only as a team, also as a human being, you know, you need to have this kind of balance emotionally when you're winning and when you're losing. Don't take everything as a disaster when the result wasn't great, and don't take it as a, like a hero when everything goes in your favor and you win and you win and you win, you know. It's that, you know, as a human beings, as individual, but also as a group, having that kind of balance. And because I truly believe that, you know, I truly believe that when you're winning is because basically we're doing a lot of better things. But also when you're losing, it's not just because everything, it's a disaster, you know. And as I said, when you're winning, also, oh, it doesn't mean that everything was completely perfect in all the areas. No, not at all, you know. And that's, football is the best example. It's like life. When you, sometimes you don't deserve much, but life gives you more. Or maybe in a game is the same. Maybe you don't deserve it because you just created one chance and you're still winning the game, even the other team created five chances, you know. But this is the way it is, and we have to get our mental balance and, you know, and deal with it.
So in terms of Indian players, one thing I always hear from coaches is how most of them are inclined to learn new things. Is that the same thing that you found as well? Because a lot of these players, if you look at them, their football education is not the level of European level. So you might have to teach them things that probably a 16, 17-year-old in Europe would have already learned. So is that the same thing that you've come across?
Well, what I think is that the Indian players are players that they want to get better, players that they have desire to become better. And that's, for me, huge, as we said in the beginning. That's why I was so passionate to come to India, because they're not arrogant or things like that. All completely the opposite. You know, they are players that have this humble mentality to get better. You know, like, I want to learn. And that's great for a coach and coaching staff, because you basically now is about us to give them information and training sessions and so on. They're getting better. It is true that what I find out as well, that you need to be on their toes, like constantly you have to remind them, like, stay there, keep going, positive feedbacks. And it's not enough with just one time that you say something. But that's, to be honest, this happens everywhere where I've been. You know, learning and or coaching is not just a matter of one day or one week or even few months. It takes time. And more than what you say or what you show them is what you practice. That's the most important. When you practice it, then you even realize it even more, and it comes more into your brain and into your legs and into your body. But not just by the fact that you just practice one day, it's already there. So you need to have this kind of consistency. But we see improvement. Definitely we would, if we have more time and more months and years with that consistency, we'd see huge, huge development in football in India.
So under you, we've seen Chara and Apuya, Nintoy all improve, and Apuya especially even a leader in your team. So how have they impressed you? Like, what is it in them that you saw and you thought, okay, Apuya can be one of the main guys in this team, can be a leader of the team?
Well, first, because I checked the videos from last year, I saw all the games, I watched all the games of the last season, and I knew how important he was already. But also in every single training session, he's so competitive. And that's something that I asked since day one to everyone. And I said, look, if someone don't want to fight and don't want to compete and they don't want to train and basically want to give up or things like that, then they can leave. I have no problems. I want to have people here committed to improve, no matter what is the situation, and no matter if we're winning, we're losing, we're drawing, I don't care. You keep working, because that's the only way. If you're in that direction, don't give up, try to be positive no matter what. I'm sure the results and the self-improvement, it's there and will be there. So, and these players, they show that they have this character to become better. They want to learn, and they have this energy. And obviously, as a coaches, we have to be there to provide them this kind of support. Sometimes this support doesn't mean to say, well done, keep going. Sometimes it means, hey, wake up, don't relax for a second, keep there. So you need to keep that balance between push them and between motivate them, you know, it's a thin balance, you know, between that. But to be honest, not just about those players, it's about all the teams and in any league in the world.
So in terms of recruitment, we've seen some really good foreigners in Northeast. In the previous years, we had Asmogyan, Ogbeche, you know, players of that level. But you have brought in a lot of younger players to them, to say that, like, you know, Apaya or Sila, Kamara also has been a revelation.
So how do you go about recruiting these players? I know you worked with some of them before, but generally, how do you go about recruiting these players?
Basically, I only work with one, with Kwesi Appiah. Mm-hmm. And the other ones is about having, obviously, knowledge of football worldwide, having contacts, having a lot of information before you sign those players, not only in football or tactics or all this, so about injuries record. Also, some of them I got to know other people that work with them, or the teammates, or the players. So I got good information of how they are in the changing room, how they behave. All this kind of information helps you to make better decisions. But at the end of the day, there is nothing certain until you have them here and you see them in the trainings and you have those conversations. It's important that they knew before to arrive here what this would be like, because it's not easy when you are in a quarantine system, you know, with this many cases far away from family. So they have to mentally be prepared before to arrive here, because if they cannot deal with this, or they are not mentally prepared for or willing to go through this, then no matter what, they are good at the pitch or not, they definitely know are the profiles for this experience, for this, especially for this year with this COVID situation and with this bubble structure. So replying the question is about to get as much information as possible before you go and you approach them and you obviously offer them a contract and you're getting into those details and to finalize the contract. You know, for me, it's important that I speak to them and I get to know if they definitely just interested to come, not for the salary side or for the economic part, also because this is, there's a huge platform, a huge opportunity for them to improve in their future careers, whatever is in India or maybe in another leagues further on. You know, that's what they want to see, players that they came with the desire to do well, to prove themselves, because that's definitely good for their career in the present, but also in the future.
So since you've been here, has anything surprised you about Indian football?
Well, I like the organization of the league. I see it's a league improving and a league that it's really professional. Obviously, there are things that have to get better, but is like any other league in the world. In general, I think that when I had meetings with them, I see that they're trying to get also feedback from coaches, because they have this mentality that, okay, we know that it's just the seventh edition of this championship, and what feedback can we get from you guys? And that tells a lot, you know. So definitely it's the best way to improve all of us and as a league. So I'm impressed with that. I'm impressed with the level of players. I see definitely with the right support and the right decisions, I definitely can see many Indian players going abroad and doing well, as long there is the right way and the right platform and the right places. But definitely I see a level for it. So that tells a lot of them, of the kind of players that naturally India produce, you know, with the good structures, good clubs, good coaching, and good structure around. I'm sure this can become a football power in the future.
So moving away from the season and the league, let's talk about you. Because I was looking during my research about you in this end. You worked in Korea, in Australia, in Spain, England, Kazakhstan, Sweden. It's such a, you know, it's like there's so many different places that you've been able to travel and do Ghana as well with the national team. So what is the difference that you see? How does the football culture vary and across these places?
We can have 2 hours to talk about every one of those experiences. And
let's pick up the main ones for you, that things that you picked up.
It's hard to tell. It's better if we are more specific. I mean, for me, the experiences that I enjoy more probably are the ones where I was a head coach with a head coach role. That was the first one was in the States with Rayo OKC, which was the second team of, I mean, there was a team attached to Rayo Vallecano, a team in Madrid, in Spain. And that was, for me, it was, I had really good players there, Derek Boateng, Giorgio Samaras, you know, players really well known worldwide, and so many others. So that was for me a huge experience because I could put in practice finally what I got in my mind and what I learned in all the experiences with top coaches like Avram Grant, Rafa Benitez, Cas Poyet, and so many others. And we were successful because we were 10 games unbeaten. We won 5 straight wins in the last 5 games, and we achieved the playoff in that league. So it was really successful, and I was really happy about what we achieved. I mean, that was one. In Kazakhstan, it was not a long experience. We learn also how different is the cultures, how is what the people really want there. It was different, but it brought us a lot of self knowledge also of trying to not just what you can bring into one place, also what they actually want from you, and then makes you realize is when you go to a project, first of all, try to understand how is the club and what actually this club is all about, you know. And without that, I think it's a wrong approach because you cannot just think, no, this is me and this is how we work. Now, first of all, you have to know what actually it's the mentality of the club, you know. And sometimes clubs, to be fair, they don't even know what they are. Everybody obviously wants to win, but sometimes it's not realistic, you know. I mean, yes, who doesn't want to win? I mean, everybody wants to win. But you need to know, okay, well, how you are comparing to other teams, what is their salaries, what is the structure around, then it makes more sense for a club to be more in line of those targets. And this is not something that come from the coaching point of view, but at least you can be more reliable or more clean on your own mind, you know, when you, for example, in Kazakhstan, I remember, you know, we're supposed to be one of the top teams in the league, but how can you be one of the top teams in the league if you are having no training ground, if sometimes you cannot even train because the pitch is full of snow, or you have to spend so many hours traveling, and the other teams, they might have a private jet. So what I'm saying by that is that the kind of pressure that you have to get under, it has to be equally to the amount of resources or the amount of structure that the club as a club is put in place. So it cannot be just this is the coach and you have to perform no matter what. Coaches, we're going to try to perform no matter what, of course, but the target for one club, it cannot be the same if you have absolutely everything, and if you have one of, you know, if you don't have the same that the others. So I think it's important as a kind of a proper thoughts about football in that point of view for owners, for clubs, you know, to have a clear mind of actually what we want to be as a club. I'm not talking about my club right now. I'm talking about football. I'm talking what we want to be as a football club. If you are Barcelona, what are you as a football club? If you are Manchester City, if you are any other clubs like in Kazakhstan, that the club, what is our identity? What do we want to achieve?
A vision.
Yeah, a vision. We want to be a team that produce players. We want to be a team that believe with the academy. We want to be a team that only cares about winning. You know, I think that's important, like any company, any business in the world, okay? Let's be sure we have a clear identity of what we want, and then to have that process that makes us close to this. You know, this is something that I realized from all those experiences that I had so far. And I see that many clubs, there is no clear structure, or there is not a clear mentality of or mind of what the club wants to be, or what this club is all about. For example, here in Northeast, I definitely see a mentality and a clear path. You know, it's a club that believe historically with, you know, with the youth, and this is definitely great to see that this is a club that we give him chances to players that other clubs didn't see as a potential player, and we give that, and proof of that is our lineups. You know, we have really young players that I'm sure they're going to be the future, not only the future, even the present of Indian football. You just mentioned some of them, and that's really a great thing. You know, it's beautiful to be in this kind of club.
And so how hard was it also to be in a country like, you know, South Korea, Kazakhstan, where the language is a major issue, because you speak very good English and Spanish, of course. So how difficult is it for a manager to be in a country where they don't speak that language?
It's difficult and it's not ideal. Best thing is if you learn the language. Obviously, learning Korea, it takes time. And Kazakhstan was Kazakh language or Russian, which obviously is also tricky ones to learn, and it takes time. You have to be for a few years probably to get to a high level of communication. But then obviously you have translators, which they're going to do their best to help you. It's important to have good translators that they not only understand the languages, also they understand the football and the moments, and that's why it's really hard to be in those situations, because it's in football there are good moments, bad moments, and to have this kind of mentality, and that's why this kind of role, it has to be well picked, and it has to be the right person or persons to be close to you.
Now, can we speak about Ghana? Because I was looking at that squad. You had Apaya was there, Christian Atsu, Andre Ayew, his brother Jordan, Asmogian. Quite a young team also at that time. A lot of them in their 20s. And you went on to the final, eventually losing out on penalties. It is also a long penalty kick and stuff. How was that experience for you to go to Africa to take over a national team, which is very different from a club set?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, I will always be pleased with Avram Grant for that opportunity. It was a huge time, you know, because it was my first time in Africa, and I get to know a lot of countries. You know, I went to Senegal, to Congo, to Rwanda, to South Africa, to obviously Ghana, to Equatorial Guinea, and, you know, and many others. And, you know, that's as experience to go to such a continent and those countries is great. You know, it's just get to know what's the world around. And in terms of football, also the passion that the people puts into the teams, in that case, to the national teams, it's huge. For us, we were so close to achieve something that was not achieved since more than 30 years ago. And we were so close, one penalty away from that historical achievement. But at the end of the day, we were runners up, you know, and also it was a big, big success so far. And it was great because those players, they were magnificent at that moment. And obviously all of them, they're still playing and in a huge clubs. And what I can say, I mean, it was probably, I can see myself going back to Africa at one point, because it's also people that lives for football. They breathe football. everyone is so passionate about it, and you know, and especially with the national teams, and it's to be part of AFCON, African Cup of Nations, or tournaments like this, or obviously World Cup. For them, it's something unique, and you as a coach or coaching staff, it's unique experiences. You only have to live it by yourself to really understand what it means and what it's all about.
Now I wanted to ask you about the technical side. You studied sports science. You worked as a technical director. And you also have an app, Efficiency Match Sports app, which you work with. And so how important is technology into football? And are you someone who leans towards bringing more technology to the game? And how did you get involved in the app?
Yeah, basically this app was the result of my own experiences also. I wanted to find a tool that could help us to send the message, the tactical message, the meetings and everything in a clear way. And as we just said, sometimes when you have players that we speak different language, whatever helps them to understand like this, you know, efficiency matches, it provides you this kind of animations, movements, then you can see yourself with the photo, the number, the name, and then it's less misunderstanding, because basically you see, okay, you go there, then the other player overlaps, or he's going to do this kind of pressing, then you have to be there. Definitely these kind of things help us a lot. This we put it into the video sessions, and you know, players understand, and players we get the most from them, you know, and we use it in the African Cup of Nations before the trainings, in the video meetings, and also it was, I believe, a strong way or reason why it helped us to become quite successful.
So did these various roles, the things that you worked in, head of academy, and you know, assisting as a coach and being a head, all this technical director, all this helped you as a manager? Now the role that you're doing as a head coach, does all this help?
I think so, because first you understand what it means to be in the other side, and then you know, and I try to respect everybody's position. But at the same time, when you are head coach, you have to, once you know what's going to be in the head, on the mind of the system, so because you've been into those positions, so now you know what you can ask him, how can you ask him, and so on, you know. But at the same time, when you are head coach, you have a big responsibility. You have to get the most from everyone. So you have to find this balance between push, but also kind of in a nice way, you know. But also you have to keep everybody on their toes, because if you don't put pressure, then people naturally, we get comfortable and we relax. And without this kind of tension, you're not going to deliver results.
So now I just want to give some names, the people you have worked with and things. And if you can tell a story or an anecdote or the experience working with them and things, because for us, these are, you know, people that we idolize or grew up watching and being big fans of. So I'll start with Rafa Benitez, close to you, because he wrote the forward to your book and things like that. So how what is he like? Because from a distance, he seemed cold, distance, very tactically, you know, very, very focused and things like that. So how is he as a person?
He's a person that is really hard work. He's a person really serious in his work, that he likes to control a lot whatever happens in the field, but also off the field. He likes to have a lot of information about everything, and he's a football lover, you know, a person that has been in football all his life, and he, you know, that's why he became one of the best coaches in the world in the old times, I believe. He got, you know, the success in Liverpool, how he brought so much to the English football, also in Newcastle, you know, how get them promoted. And I mean, it's definitely someone that gave me a lot of influence, or brought me a lot of influence in terms of control of the things that you can control. Because at the end, this is a game, and there are obviously the other teams, and there are like kind of unpredictable things that we is not in our hands. But yes, at least all the things that you can influence and you can deal with, and that's something that I learned from him. And this kind of also, he was one of the first to start talking about rotation. In the last years, it's become crazy the amount of games the teams have to deal with, the players have to deal with, whatever is with the teams or with the national teams and so on, or commercial reasons. So now it's becoming, having this kind of a rotation into the squad allows you to be more fresh when you play, but also keep more the people more happy because they can see, well, I can play. Maybe I'm not starting, but maybe starting the next one. So it's a lot of things that before it were not introduced by many other coaches, because probably also the amount of games were less, and then obviously you could take maybe more or usually more the same 11.
So what does Liverpool mean to you now? Everything. One of the best teams in the world.
Everything. It was my first experience away from home. I was so young at the time. I didn't even speak English really well. And I learned Scouse, which is the kind of a
accent,
yeah. And it was like a life experience for me to be in one of those clubs in the academy, and the year after signing, getting a contract in the first team, having working in the first team of Liverpool, it was a huge thing. You know, I was coaching players like Xavi Alonso, Pepe Reina, Fernando Torres, Javier Mascherano, Arbeloa, Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, all those players, to be close to them, it was a huge experience that I tried to record everything in my mind, as every day I was like someone that was saying thank you for just being there, and having that opportunity to be part of that team. And in that year, we finished second of the league in the Premier League, just behind Manchester United. And it was huge.
Yes, you may not be able to see the guy who's recording this, my partner in this endeavor, the podcast. He's a Liverpool fan and he's going absolutely mad, saying they are the best and this team is the best and things. So from my end, Fernando Torres was that. There is always this Messi, Ronaldo, the great players who we always love. But Fernando Torres was that player who in me made me feel like, oh, this guy is something else. He made me love football all the more. He's that guy for me. How was it working with him? And you got to work with the best Fernando Torres. Because I'm a Chelsea fan. By the time he came to Chelsea, his injuries, his knee was not the same. He was never the same player. But you got the best Fernando Torres, the version of him as a player.
You know that the first time Rafa called him, he thought he didn't expect that call. He was at the Atletico de Madrid at that time. And that was like, I think Liverpool gave him a lot to Fernando, and Fernando gave a lot to Liverpool, because it was like the perfect match. And, that was huge. I mean, he became one of the, when Chelsea signed him, I don't think he wasn't that bad like people think. But the problem is when you expect a lot, and, this is one of the problems, the big expectations is never helps, and I think he did a lot of goals, he scored, and he brought a lot to Chelsea as well. But it's better when people don't expect that much and then you deliver, but definitely the numbers, if we see them properly, definitely we will have a more objective, that information in front of us, we'll see that he was great as well, because he's a great player. He's been a great player.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved him in Chelsea also. He scored against Barcelona, scored in the Europa final, got a lot of assists also. But yeah. So what about Steven Gerrard?
Well, a captain, a guy that, just with his presence meant a lot. He deserved full respect from everyone in in the football world. And for me, it was, I had a nice feeling with him, because also with the name, you know, kind of a Gerard, and it was a kind of this family, like kind of friend or kind of a close, just for that, you know, and someone that later on I visited him when he went to play in MLS, and I saw him there, went there for a few days to see him. You know, he's a nice guy and nice person, and now as a coach, you know, as a manager also. So I'm sure one day he's going to be managing Liverpool, because he's the only club that he played for, and even he got options to go in a massive clubs as well. You know, I think Liverpool without Steven Gerrard would not be Liverpool, basic as that. You know, it's been one of the best captains ever and one of the best players ever.
And what about Carragher? I hated him when he was playing for Liverpool, but as an analyst, he is my favorite now. Or my entire opinion of him has changed as a human being. So what was he like?
Well, it's a kind of same in terms of, you know, a player that gave all absolutely everything for his club. And his career now is more into commentating and all this, but he was, you know, showing that passion and this work also in this commitment for the club that he loves.
What about Gustavo Poy? You worked with him in Brighton.
Yeah. Gustavo is it's a person that, in terms of passion, and he's on top of it. You know, how he approaches every game with this energy and these tactical adaptations. It's one of the best that they worked so far, and he done so well at Brighton. You know, getting improving the team from League One level, from getting promoted and to get him close to the Premier League, and all, I think, you know, help a lot in the development of Brighton as a club, and also in Sunderland it was a top one. So definitely is a guy that gets results, makes the team competitive, and I like how he is. You know, it's someone with passion, someone with big knowledge, and he's been perfect for English football, because he's been there playing for different teams before, and obviously coaching in the recent years.
So how was Samaras? Because I really liked him when he was in England.
Yeah, Giorgio Samaras was obviously, that was in the end of his career. After that, we went to play just for Zaragoza for 6 months after our club, and in the States. He was a player in that moment. He was having some injuries, some complaints, some problems after. But he was, before, he was a huge, huge player in he was in Manchester City and Celtic, I mean, in Scotland. I mean, and also he became champions of Europe with Greece, you know. And I mean, what can we say about him as a striker? It was amazing. But the only thing with us, did well, but the only problem was, he was dragging those injuries, and it wasn't the best moment of his career. You know, it was like in the last years of his career as a football player.
Did you work with Orlandi also in Brighton?
Yes, with Orlandi. He's a really good friend of mine. Outside of football, I mean, he's a guy that lives in Barcelona, and we obviously, he's been in India played for Chennai. And that's why one of the persons that I spoke to him a lot at the time, you know, because he gave me a lot of information about what is India and Indian football, Indian people, Indian culture, and so on.
So, which club do you support?
Well, since I was a kid, I like Barcelona. You know, my family, many of my family supports FC Barcelona. But you know, from my experiences, and Liverpool will always be in my heart, because it was the main thing, you know, that happened to me in football. And then after that, all the clubs that I've been part of, or that I'm part of, I keep really good memories, and I always gonna wish the best of the best things, best luck to all the teams that gonna, you know, that I've been part of, whatever role I was. So in Africa, I like to see Ghana doing well, you know, in Sweden, in every country. Like the day that I leave this club, I hope Northeast keep going well and gonna do the best, because that's the way I am, and I only expect and I hope for the best of all of those places.
Now, if I can ask you to, from the players that you've coached, to have a best five-a-side team, can you do that? The best players that you've coached.
It's impossible. But okay. Basically, if you go and you pick up the best from Liverpool, some of Ghana, yes. But it's not the same, for example, at the moment that you, what time you pick them up, you know. For example, Giorgio Samaras at one point, it was huge. And the last years of the career probably is not going to be the same, but that happens to everyone. Fernando Torres of that moment of Liverpool, it's a better player than probably the last 2 years of his career, but this happened to all the players, you know. It depends. It's impossible to... Or Samoa Jan, you can say it's, you know, how can you compare Samoa Jan and Fernando Torres, you know? It's both are really good, but some, you know, it depends of the context, the situation. Probably in Africa, you know, everybody knows more Samoa for how good it's been in Africa, you know, and in England and in Europe, what Fernando Torres brought into the game, it's massive, you know. And also Fernando Torres was a World Cup champion with Spain. I mean, but
Euros.
And you're, yes, so we're talking about big figures. If you want to have perfect 11 or best players, obviously you're going to stick to many that they were at Liverpool, because that was a fantastic side at that time, and because they got World Cup champion.
So last two questions. The one is, this season with the Northeast United FC, what is the objective, the main objective?
First, it's about to being competitive, to be a team that we have a clear identity, that people feel proud of the team. And definitely, I've seen that in the 8 games that we played. To be honest, the 10 games that we played, the 2 friendlies before the season started and the 8 games that we played. And when I'm proud when I see that the team fights, is fighting spirits and great chances, and this is, for me, you know, the most important. A team that controls the game. And controlling the game doesn't mean to have the ball like 90% of the time or 90% more than the... No, for me, controlling the game means be a team that creates chances, more chances than the opponent. And at the same time, that we be strong and we don't allow the other team to get anything from us. And we know that no matter what you do, it's going to be almost impossible, because the other team going to try to, and they have good players, good coaches, and they're going to try to do the same. But this is our target. And at the same time, improve the players, all of them, to be sure that after this season, if their level was this at the beginning, after the season, they're going to be like that. So as a team, to be competitive, to be fighting, to go for the game in every single one, with the chances to win every single game. And that's what we've seen in these 8 games. There is no one game that you said, well, the other team was much better than Northeast United. Not in even one game we were like that. I had that feeling. And that's something that we need to feel proud of ourselves, but it's not like something that is done and that's it. No, we have to stick to it. We have to keep improving, keep getting better. And as individuals, as I said, everyone has a space for a range for improvement. We have to provide that as a coaching staff.
The last one is, do you have a favorite funny moment that happened to you as a coach or a player while you were on the sidelines during a game?
I don't know if the word is funny or, but probably the moments that you feel more satisfied, more happy, more success is when you actually prepare something in trainings and you realize that this is happening in the game, and if you can, in defensive point of view, you can deal with that situation perfectly, then you feel proud of it, you feel happy. In offensive, if you create you propose in a scenario where you play like this and then you create that chance and you score from that, then you feel, you know, so happy. That's something that you see in every game, you know, when that's the best satisfaction that I had, to be honest.
Thank you so much, Gerard. Thanks so much for agreeing to this. You are a great fan. I have to say this, I really enjoy watching your team play. I'm a big fan of the team, like you said, controlling the game without the ball, because the defensive organization is excellent. And more power to you. I hope that Northeast of India, as an Indian football fan, is a massive place for getting players for the national team.
Yeah.
And to represent that side, over the years, we didn't have a great Northeast team, to be completely honest. There was one that qualified for the top four under El Koshikar. And I hope that you guys, you can continue that trend and give more opportunities and do what you're doing, because it's really
wonderful. Thank you for your words. For us, one of the positive things that we've seen so far is that we are a team that can, you know, if we don't have like Angulo, that he scores 6, 7, 8 goals, or Vasquez, we are a team that many players can score goals. And this actually, I prefer to have a team like this, because it's not that you just depend on one player in offensive part of the game. And this is huge, because you see that our central backs can score mainly from set pieces. And you see that our wingers can create something and can score by themselves, or our strikers or our midfielders. And then it's harder for the opponents, because it's not who they're going to control, who they're going to take care of, you know, who they're going to manage. No, it's a team that they're going to try to, you know, that they're not going to, they're going to feel harder to deal with. And that's what we want, to have a team.
Absolutely. One of the best teams that I look forward to watching this season, without any shadow of a doubt. And I love your passion also, when you drop the F-bomb after one of the games. I thought that was great, because it showed how much you cared about the team and how happy you were with the character. I hope it goes on to you. And thank you so much for your time. You've been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. Bye. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
That was all in this episode of Injury Time, and we'll be back with more regular shows and more interviews. We have already got a few of them in the can, and we'll release it soon. If you want to keep abreast with what we are doing, you can follow us on social media at Injury Time IND on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, everywhere. It's the same at Injury Time IND. So please do follow us, subscribe to the podcast, and keep supporting us. And we'll try to bring the best content we can to you as well. So till the next episode, just stay safe and enjoy the game.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.